If you think Christians are immune from loneliness, take a closer look at your Bible. It's filled with people who battle loneliness, as well as tools to help you escape it. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah shares truths from God's Word to help you break free from the isolation and enjoy a life in fellowship with God and His people. With the conclusion of Slaying the Giant of Loneliness, here's David.
Well, thank you. We stopped at the beginning of this weekend in the middle of our discussion of loneliness, and we'll pick it back up here today. I want you to know that during this month, we have made available something very special. It is the book Slaying the Giants in Your Life, along with the scripture cards that, well, they're just very special. They're laminated cards with each of these giants listed at the top of a card. And then underneath, I claim these scriptures to overcome, here's loneliness. I claim these scriptures to overcome loneliness. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me, Psalm 27:10. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit, Psalm 34:18. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, Isaiah 43:2, and several others along with these. So every card has the scriptures that you need to grab hold of when you're experiencing a conflict with the giants. Today it's loneliness, tomorrow and Wednesday it's worry, Thursday and Friday it's guilt. All of these problems are answered through the precious promises of the Word of God. When you send your gift to Turning Point during the month of June, ask for your copy of the book, Slaying the Giants in Your Life, and the scripture cards that go with it. We'll send them to you as our way of saying thank you for supporting this ministry of the worldwide distribution of God's Word. Well, today we go back to where we left off, so let's finish up our discussion of slaying the giant of loneliness.
The Bible tells us very clearly that throughout the scriptures, there were many who experienced periods of loneliness. David was a man who felt loneliness in his heart. I remember reading in the Psalms on one occasion where he talked about how he felt in the aloneness of his life. In Psalm 142, verse 4, he says, "Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." And you can almost feel the edge of the loneliness in those words as David describes feeling alone. We don't have to read much of the story of David's life to know why he would feel that way. Chased as he was by Saul, he was a fugitive for much of his life before he ultimately came to the kingdom, and David knew many moments of aloneness. Aren't you glad he wrote them down so that we could identify with him? When I read his words, I don't then feel so badly that once in a while I experience that. David, the king, experienced loneliness. And then there's Jeremiah the prophet. In the Old Testament, we read about Jeremiah. It is one of the most agonizing stories you will ever read. In fact, if you are not aware of it, the book of Lamentations is connected to the book of Jeremiah, and it used to be one book before they separated them out. And you know, the book of Lamentations is a book of funeral poems collected together to describe the anguish of Jeremiah's heart as he watched the city of Jerusalem dissipate right in front of his eyes. He saw the culture come unglued. He preached against it, and he knew that in preaching against it, they would not listen, they would not hear. And Jeremiah became the weeping prophet as he wept over the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. It was an agonizing thing for him. It's agonizing even to read about it today. Jeremiah got so fed up with watching what was happening to his culture, he said, "If I could just get a Motel 6 out in the desert, I'd just go out there and stay." And he was absolutely alone and wanting to be more alone because of the anguish of his soul. So there is loneliness, whether you be a king or whether you be a prophet. Those are Old Testament people. What about New Testament people? I'd like to tell you just a little bit about Paul the Apostle, the greatest man who ever lived outside of Jesus Christ, the human author of much of the New Testament scriptures, the founder of all of the missionary churches, the writer of the book of Romans, the greatest treatise on theology ever conceived. Paul the Apostle was a lonely man on occasion. When he wrote his little letter to Timothy, which we call 2 Timothy, it's the last letter he ever wrote before he died, he described the loneliness of his heart in the last chapter of the epistle, and he wrote his letter in these words. Listen carefully. "Be diligent to come to me quickly," he writes to Timothy, "for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, and Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus is in Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Antichicus I have sent to Ephesus. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." You feel that? Here's the great apostle, and he stands alone. No one is with him. You would think that could not happen. You would think that's the kind of thing that doesn't happen to the great apostle. But the point of all of this is to help us all understand that when we feel the loneliness sweep in and begin to take control of us, we aren't the first person ever to visit that place. It is known by many in our culture, and it has been known by many who walked before us in Bible days. And it is not a sin to be alone. It's not sin to experience loneliness. It only becomes a sin when we start to indulge it and when we fail to obey the instruction of the Word of God, which is given to us to help us dispel the loneliness in our life. It is not wrong to visit loneliness. It is wrong to move in and let loneliness take over your life. So what do we do with it? How do we handle it? Where do we go when we feel alone? Let me suggest some things that will help us learn how to escape from loneliness when it begins to take over our life. First of all, we need to acknowledge the reality of it. I hope you're not among the people who are given to pious platitudes about personal problems. We as Christians have made an indoor sport out of saying the things that we think people would expect us to say, when in reality, they're not reality at all. A.W. Tozer was writing about this on one occasion, and he said, "Some say brightly, 'Oh, I never am lonely. Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and lo, I am with you always. So how can I ever be lonely when Jesus is with me?'" And then Tozer went on to write, "Now, I do not want to reflect on the sincerity of any Christian soul, but this stock testimony is too neat to be real. It is obviously what the speaker thinks should be true, rather than what he has proved to be true by the test of his own experience." Have you ever heard an answer like that from someone? You go to them with your problem, and before you can even get the sentence out of your mouth, out comes the stock and trade answer, and you've heard it all before. For instance, somebody says, "Well, you know, I was watching so-and-so, and they did such-and-such, and it was such a disappointment to me, and I don't know whether or not I'm going to be able to go on following the Lord because I'm so disappointed in that person." And what is the stock and trade answer? "My friend, don't watch people. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He will never disappoint you." All of that is true. But it is also true that we have been called upon to be examples of the faith, and that the only Jesus you see is the Jesus you see in people. And there is something about the fact that when we don't live for God and we disappoint others, we bear a responsibility for it. Yes, we're to keep our eyes on Jesus, but the Jesus that we see is the Jesus we see being lived out in others. And so that stock and trade answer sometimes just leaves us cold. And it's not good enough to say when you feel alone, "Well, I'm not going to admit that I'm alone. I'm just going to accept the fact that I'm a Christian. Because I'm a Christian, Jesus is always with me. So while I may feel alone, I know I'm not alone. And so I will just deny the feeling." That's craziness. I'll tell you, I'm your pastor. I've felt lonely on occasion. Not because of anything anyone has done, or because of anything that maybe shouldn't have happened, but because I'm a human being and we walk through the places of loneliness on occasion. And all of us have known it. So don't deny it. Accept it. It's part of life. It's part of the human experience. And after you've accepted it, then recognize that as you acknowledge the reality of your loneliness, you need to accept God's provision for it. What is the provision of Almighty God for a lonely heart, for a lonely person? Let me just remind you that He's the only one who can really solve that problem. He's the only one. Because God has created us in such a way that we have an emptiness in us that can only be filled by an intimate relationship with Almighty God. It is not possible for us to stuff anything else into that vacant space. Until God is at home within our hearts, we will always feel incomplete, and we will always feel a sense of aloneness, especially when we face difficult times. I have been watching people go through crisis now for over 30 years, and I can tell you that it is possible to tell whether a person is a Christian or not just by watching their response to the difficulties of life. If we do not have the inner strength that comes through a personal relationship with Almighty God, we are left alone to handle the stresses and crises of life. But I'm here to tell you that God sent His Son into the world as an ambassador. And His Son came not only to give us the message of the gospel, but to be the gospel. And He hung on a cross between heaven and earth. And He Himself experienced the most awful aloneness you could ever know. As He was rejected by His Father, He cried out in the words of Matthew 27, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? What was He saying? He bore the sin of the whole world on the cross, and because Almighty God is a holy God, He could not look upon even the representation of sin associated with His Son on the cross, and He turned His back upon Him, and Jesus was left alone with the anguish and pain and sin of the world. And I'm reminded that He was left alone so that we might not ever have to be alone. He was left alone so that the sin debt would be paid in full, and that we could come to Him and in faith we could accept what He did for us on the cross. And by doing that, He would come to live within us and He would fill the empty space in our hearts. God created us with a place where Jesus belongs, and until He's there, we will always be alone in the real sense of the word. So you have to accept the provision that God has made for you. If you're not a Christian, I can't really tell you anything except what I'm telling you right now that will help you pull out of the loneliness of your life. When you find Jesus Christ, you find someone who knows what you're experiencing. You don't come to the Lord Jesus to say, Lord, I know You can't know what I'm feeling. He knows what you're feeling 100 times over, and He can identify with you. But most of all, He's paid the penalty for your sin so that you can be connected to Almighty God in personal faith. Are you connected to God? Do you have a connectedness with the Almighty? If you do not have, you can only solve that problem through the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Then you need to allow God's Word to fill your mind and heart. If you're a Christian and you're experiencing loneliness, you need to hear the Lord's voice speak to you. You need to hear the Lord speak to your problem, and He will do that if you will read the Word of God. This is not just a pious platitude that I'm telling you. This is the only thing I can tell you. God has spoken, and if you will read His Word, you will hear His voice. And what does He say? Oh, there are so many scriptures. I wish I could spend the rest of this day reading the scriptures from the heart of Almighty God to people who are hurting. But listen to Psalm 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Isn't that a precious promise? Hebrews 13:5-6 says, For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? These are just representative scriptures that remind us that in the pages of this book are all the promises we need when we feel the pain of loneliness beginning to inch into our lives. Finally, let me encourage you to activate your network of Christian friends. I want to make a statement as we close this message today that I hope won't be offensive, but I have to say it because it's true. Loneliness is a choice. It really is. Now, moments of being alone may not be a choice, but lingering in the house of loneliness is your decision, and it's the decision you make. For God has first of all given us His Son, and then He's given us His Word, and then He's given us His people, all of which are for us, so that we don't have to be alone. The Lord didn't leave us here to experience life all by ourselves. He's put us into the community of believers called the church. I remind you on occasion that every time the word saint appears in the Bible, it always appears in the plural. Because saints are not left in isolation. We are the saints of God. And we come together for mutual encouragement and for help. And someone says, but Pastor Jeremiah, I don't know anybody. Well, then the Bible's answer to you is that he who is going to have a friend has to show himself friendly. You say, well, I don't think it's my responsibility to take the initiative. Then, my friend, whose responsibility is it? How do you connect with somebody in a large church like this? If you sit around and say, I am not going to do anything about my solitude until someone notices me and reaches out to me, that could be a real dangerous thing. Not because people are uncaring, but there are so many people in this congregation. Do you know what the problem is? They would like to reach out to you as a visitor, but they're not sure but what you've been here longer than they have. People come up to my wife all the time and welcome her to Shadow Mountain. It's just it's an amazing thing. You say, well, I'm not necessarily a gregarious, outgoing person. You know what? What I'm trying to help you understand is loneliness is a choice. You can be lonely, but if you stay lonely, it's because you have decided that's what you're going to do. There are Sunday school classes. There are small groups. There are ministry groups like the choir. There are opportunities to get into smaller settings. There are fellowship times. There's Bible studies for women and Bible studies for men. We have provided all kinds of connectedness if we will just take advantage of it and activate our Christian network. That's why God gave it to us, so that we don't have to face the challenges of life all by ourselves. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I love that scripture. Years ago, we had a prayer ministry in Shadow Mountain called the Triple Cord Prayer Ministry. And it was built upon this scripture, that a threefold cord is not easily broken. When you come together with other people, when you build relationships with other people, you provide a strength that you cannot have by yourself. Oh, I believe in the all-sufficiency of Almighty God, but I also believe that God does His best work through people. Have you noticed that? Every ministry I've ever had in my life, I've had in my body. And in my body, I have reached out to others through my voice and my hands and my writing. And God wants to do that through all of us, to bring us together into a network of Christians that can dispel the loneliness that we feel. We should not be a church where people feel isolated. And you know, while I put all of the responsibility on each one who may experience loneliness, I don't want to take any of the responsibility off of any of the rest of us. One of the things we ought to do as we come to the Lord's house on Sunday is this. We ought to get up early enough so we can have just a little time of prayer with God. And we ought to say, Lord God, I'm going to church today, and I'm going to be with a lot of people, but there's one person there who will need a word from me. Help me to know who that person is, and give me the word in the right moment and in the right way. The Bible says that as we come to church, we're to do so encouraging one another. And that's the ministry to which the Lord has called us. Like many of the problems we're examining during these days, loneliness in the end is a choice. We may not like the circumstances of life. We may not feel like we've been dealt a very fair hand. But in the end, it is our response to these circumstances that determines our spiritual and our emotional health. And that's where God puts the responsibility squarely upon us. That principle is clearly demonstrated in this closing story. Anne Frank was a very famous person, and we've read the diary and seen the movie. We may not agree with all that's in there, but there are some tremendous lessons. Perhaps you recall that she and her family were prisoners in their home during the Second World War. They suffered greatly with unimaginable hardship and difficulty. Anne kept a diary of their experience, recording the fear of discovery they lived with every day. That's the diary that we've read, and we've seen the plays and the movies. But along with the descriptions of the danger and the despair, she recorded her feelings, the feelings that she had in her heart. And somehow, despite all of the suffering she experienced, Anne found joy. In fact, in 1944, when she was a young girl, she wrote these words, and I quote, "Nearly every evening I go up to the attic, and from my favorite spot on the floor, I look up at the blue sky. As long as this exists, I think, and I may be able to live to see it, as long as I can see this sunshine and the cloudless skies, while this lasts, I cannot be unhappy. Riches can all be lost, but that happiness in your heart can only be veiled," she wrote. And I want to say with authority today that we have something far better than blue sky and clouds. We have Jesus Christ living in us. Though the world may crumble around us, He is the blue sky. He is the light from on high that thrills and encourages our hearts. I can look beyond my circumstances into the face of the one who loves me more than I know, and the one who would never allow anything to happen to me that was not for my own good. And I can know with a certainty that He cares, and that if I will trust Him, He will help me through the experience of life, and He will never leave me alone. If you know Him, you know that is true. If you do not know Him, then you are left alone with your own resources to fight through the problems. So more than anything else, let me tell you, loneliness for you is a choice. You can accept Jesus Christ and the resources of His person and know those resources for the rest of your time on this earth, or you can go on alone, trying to figure it out yourself and feeling the pain that comes from time to time. My recommendation is this: Jesus Christ has come to give you life and life everlasting. And He's just waiting for you to make the decision to accept His free gift.
Well, thank you for joining us today and for letting us teach this material to you on the subject of loneliness. Tomorrow, from Matthew chapter 6, Slaying the Giant of Worry. And I know we'll have quite a few interested parties as we open the Bible to this subject, very prevalent problem in our culture today. I know it's just, it's just the 1st of June, but you have no idea how fast the last part of this year will go. I know that every year it seems to me like we kind of get through January through May, and then when June starts, it just takes another leap into speed, and before we know it, we're looking at the end of the year. I don't say that with any other purpose than to encourage you that if you plan to go with us this year for our year-end conference cruise to the Caribbean, I hope you'll get your reservation in as soon as possible. That's right, we're going to the Caribbean December the 28th through January the 5th, and we're going to have a lot of wonderful people with us. We'll be teaching the Word of God. We'll spend New Year's Eve on a cruise ship. How about that? We'll get away from the cold weather to the warm, beautiful blue Caribbean and enjoy fellowship. This is something we look forward to each year, and this year is just the same. Once again, the dates are the 28th of December through the 5th of January, and that's this year that we're in right now and then into the year 2020. So get information from our website, get involved, and join us as we go to the Caribbean at the end of the year. And then don't forget, the early part of July, we're going to be in the Appel Room at the Lincoln Center to teach a whole series of new material called Everything You Need. We've already had such a wonderful response to the invitation to come and share those times with us, but there's still room for you. If you live in the New York City area, we'd love to have you come and be with us for one or all of the days, July 1st through the 5th. Everything You Need, from 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll see you here tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
Today's message originated at Shadow Mountain Community Church with Senior Pastor Dr. David Jeremiah. If Turning Point is strengthening your spiritual walk, let us know by writing to Turning Point, P.O. Box 3838, San Diego, California, 92163. Visiting our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio or calling 800-947-1993. Ask for your copy of David's companion book to the series, Slaying the Giants in Your Life, and learn how to live victoriously. It's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also download the free Turning Point mobile app for your smartphone or tablet and access our messages, programs, and resources at your convenience. Or if you prefer, go to your app store and search for the keywords Turning Point Ministries. Get the details when you visit us at davidjeremiah.org/radio. This is David Michael Jeremiah. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, Slaying the Giants in Your Life, here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.